Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's follow up on that Congressman Israel interview with PBS correspondent Hari Srinivasan, who is also anchor of the brand new weekend PBS NewsHour, which debuted over the last couple of days, Saturdays and Sundays on PBS. Hari, welcome to WNYC, and congratulations on the new program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And I guess it was a good weekend to debut a news program with the intensity of what's happening around the Syria question. And if the headcount is as dismal in the House as what I cited before from ABC News, 44 leaning in favor, 229 leaning opposed, how does the president think that he can turn that around in time for a vote?
Well, part of his media blitz today is hoping to do just that. I think he's sitting down with six network anchors, including PBS's own Gwen Ifill. And then, of course, he's got the national address tomorrow. He, you know, told reporters on the plane, so to speak, that he's not necessarily saying anything different. He's saying it to a wider audience. I think he still wants that direct access, and he thinks that if he can make that moral case to America, that perhaps we'll change our minds.
You heard the end of my interview with Congressman Israel when we were talking about the War Powers Act and what the president is under the law obligated to do, should be obligated to do under the law. Here's a little bit of what the president said about that the other day on taking this to Congress in the first place.
I put it before Congress because I could not honestly claim that the threat posed by Assad's use of chemical weapon posed a imminent direct threat to the United States.
So, Hari, do you get that when he says it didn't pose an imminent direct threat to the United States, therefore he took it to Congress? What was he saying there?
You know, I think this is one of those cases where you've got to be as interested in why they're parsing the language so carefully. You know, this is the exception, not the rule. This is how it's different than Iraq. This is how it might be different than other presidents who might have made decisions, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that, you know, they're really trying to make a very fine particular point, and they understand that essentially at the moment you have, you know, ends of both of the political spectrum, or I should say both ends of the political spectrum who are opposed to him right now. You have liberals who are saying don't do this. You have conservatives who are saying don't do this. So he's trying to thread the needle and make a case that will placate both of them.
Listeners want to chime in. Is your thinking evolving one way or another when you first heard President Obama say we needed to do this? Maybe when you first saw a video of the children dying horrible deaths and grown-ups too in Syria, you thought, we need to do this. Maybe you're not so sure, or maybe you're going the other way. Maybe the blitz by the president, and as Hari Srinivasan just said, he's going to be doing many network news interviews today, and of course he's got that 9 o'clock speech to the nation tomorrow night, which we'll cover live here on WNYC, somehow wrap it into our primary night special. 212-433-WNYC. Is there anything the president could say to you that would bend you toward yes? 212-433-9692, or you can post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Hari?
You know, what was also interesting is that we had a clip of a conversation with Charlie Rose. Charlie, who works for both CBS and PBS, got the kind of get of the century, so to speak, at the moment, which is a sit-down, an hour-long conversation with President Bashar al-Assad. And so there were clips of it on CBS early morning. There probably will be with the evening news with Scott Pelley. But he's going to have the full hour tonight on PBS. So we're actually, when you look at PBS bumping out Antiques Roadshow, you know it's serious news. So
you think I didn't come to this conversation with you with a Charlie Rose Assad clip? So here is 43 seconds of starts with Charlie's question asking, I guess after Assad had said that there will be repercussions if the U.S. strikes Syria.
Will there be attacks against American bases in the Middle East if there is an airstrike?
You should expect everything. You should expect everything. Not necessarily through the government. It's not only the governments are not the only player in this region. You have different parties, you have different factions, you have different ideology. You have everything in this region now. So you have to expect that.
Tell me what you mean by expect everything.
Expect every action.
Including chemical warfare?
That depends. If the if the rebels or the terrorists in this region or any other group have it, it could happen. I don't know.
So that was an interesting prevarication at the end. First, when Charlie asked, expect anything, including chemical warfare, he said that depends, which right. makes you think he's saying it depends what you do. I might roll out the chemical weapons again. But then he says if the rebels or the terrorists in this region or any other group have it, it could happen. I don't know. So that was really part of his denial,
yeah.
which I gather was consistent throughout this interview.
Yeah. You know, I haven't seen the full transcript of the hour yet, but I think that that is one of the things that he keeps making this allegation that, listen, it wasn't our guys. We don't know who did it, or perhaps he doesn't say that, but we are looking for the United States to present the evidence to show that we, in fact, did it. Because at this point, it's your word against ours. Obviously, Senator Kerry is showing senators intel that he's not sharing with President Bashar al-Assad, and he's saying, show us the evidence, the same way that the Russian president at the moment, Vladimir Putin, is saying, show us the evidence and let's take it to the Security Council.
So what do you think the president is going to do with respect to evidence? Are we going to see... I mean, certainly there's evidence that something happened with chemical weapons. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's in doubt at all. And Kerry has been going around saying no member of Congress who's been briefed questions the reality of this. But maybe the American public is still questioning it. Or maybe there's some evidence that they could put out there that would so embarrass or humiliate Putin or the government of China, because it would be so obvious that the Syrian government was actually responsible for it, that I don't know if, you know, I mean, our last guest said they won't ever bend China and Russia at the Security Council. But even just to convince the American people, to convince the members of Congress to go 229 in favor instead of 229 opposed, or maybe it isn't about whether Assad did it. Maybe they're all convinced that Assad did it, but that's not why they're voting no.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, not to be a cynic, but I think members of Congress are also very concerned about their voting record when it comes to reelection time. And this is going to be one of those crucial votes. And frankly, considering that the position that the president finds himself in, where he really can't please anybody, he's definitely going to, you know, tick somebody off. Well, a member of Congress doesn't necessarily want to vote on the record about this, and that's going to get held against them by their inevitable opponent.
Let's listen to what some of our listeners are saying. Here is Marissa in Hopog. You're on WNYC. Hello, Marissa.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. I'm just, you know, I'm all for protecting children, and I understand that there are things going on in the world that, you know, we feel that we need to do something about. Well, we're not the United Nations, and we need to stop pretending like we are, because there are things going on within our country that need to be taken care of before we can continue to put monies and efforts into fixing other countries' issues.
We're not the United Nations, but the president and other, if I can call them liberal internationalists, would say that the United States, at its best, is a beacon of freedom, to use a cliche, and the enforcer of human rights around the world, because everybody else is too politically paralyzed or not militarily strong enough to be. What would you say to that argument?
I do recognize that, and I know that we have been a superpower and that, you know, we have that strong influence in the world. But, you know, I'm concerned about our own people and there being retaliations from Syria. And if we're going to put our own country in more of a risk, you know, I don't know if it's worth it to take that risk, you know, and put our own country there.
Marissa, thank you very much. Call us again. Warren on the Upper East Side. You're on WNYC. Hi, Warren.
Hi, yes, there's nothing at this particular point that President Obama could say, and anyone else in Congress, to make me believe that we can do anything right now. I believe that he missed his chance. If he's going to draw a red line in the sand, he should have bombed the military installations immediately as the President of the United States, then taking this man and brought his case to The Hague and brought this issue to the United Nations. President Obama, and I voted for him twice, is showing himself to be a very weak president. I believe that this whole conversation right now, I had a foreign policy professor who always said that your domestic policies reflected your international policies. And I believe that not only are we chasing our own tails domestically, but we are chasing our own tail internationally. And giving grandstanding moral speeches and does not make a president. And if you are going to do that, you have to take action. And of course, a lot of people would have said at the time, how dare them bomb the military installations? How dare them? But now we are talking about something that could never, ever happen. We can't bomb Syria right now. They're moving the military installations. They're moving the chemical weapons.
And Warren, I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate your thoughts. My guest is Hari Srinivasan, PBS correspondent and now anchor of the brand new, just debuted over the weekend, maybe you saw it, the PBS NewsHour Weekend Edition. And Harry will come back to that in a few minutes, and I'll ask, what took him so long? When did the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour begin? How many decades ago? And now you finally got a Weekend Edition, but congratulations.
Right,
but on Warren's point, a couple of things. Kerry's been trying to argue against the idea that delaying it by a few weeks, going to Congress, matters militarily. I think the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said this to the Senate hearing the other day too, that they're talking mostly about fixed things that have fixed locations, and so they could do this degrading of the capacity for Assad to use chemical weapons 3 weeks from now, like they could have 3 weeks ago. Is it your sense that everybody's buying that?
Well, I've been listening to a few even retired military generals who've been on the sort of Sunday shows and so forth, who are saying, some of them who are not fans of the intervention, saying, listen, we have some responsibility if we kind of have a bunker buster bomb that goes in and breaks something and actually releases the chemicals in that area. And if these are close to the cities, are we actually going to cause a problem that wasn't there yet? Or what happens if you take out all the guards who were protecting that area? Are you essentially enabling now random groups to come in and loot and hold chemical weapons? So exactly how is it that we're going to accomplish this from a drone strike versus intel on the ground and a surgical strike? And if we're not going to put people on the ground, how accurate can we be about our military action?
Carl in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Actually, those points that you were just making there there are genuine concerns that I have. But basically, the point I'd like to make is that I'm leaning towards supporting the president's recommendation for action here, because what happens if we do nothing? I just think that there's a huge risk that there's so many bad actors in the world today. And this would really be they'd see this as an opportunity for that the U.S. is paralyzed itself, can't give the leadership, and won't give the leadership. That it is chasing its own tail domestically.
The argument against that, people will say, is that there's too much emphasis, wrongly, on how this sets up a precedent that would make Iran or anyone else think that the U.S. is permanently paralyzed. The pushback on your point, and the president makes the same point, the pushback is, no, this is this, and that's that. And so if the president thought it was a bad idea to get involved in the Syrian civil war, where al-Qaeda's on one side and Assad's on the other side, et cetera, then it's still a bad idea to get involved in the Syrian civil war. If Iran develops a nuclear weapon or is on the verge of it, that's its own situation and doesn't have anything to do with what we do in Syria.
The pushback I'd say is that I'm going to assume at this point, which is, I know it's dangerous, but somehow with this president, I have greater faith here that he's actually not trumping up intelligence, that he's got real intelligence that says that they did use chemical weapons, that 1,500 people died from that. That's a major event. That is. It's not only a red line that he put in the sand. It's a red line that the entire international community put in the sand. And if no one stands up to that, where are we left?
Right. And that stems from 100 years ago, after World War I, there was a very good article, I thought, in the Times over the weekend with some of this history, that after tens of millions of people died in the horrific World War I, what came out of it in terms of international law was a prohibition against the use of chemical weapons, which it was the first use of chemical weapons, but it was relatively very few people who died as a result of them. And yet the nature of the suffering and the death was considered so horrible that that first chemical weapons convention came out of that. Carl, I really appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
And it also indicates this very odd, perhaps antiquated notion that we have of a clean or fair fight, or, you know, that this sort of death is acceptable if you were killed quickly and painlessly by your opponent or opposition. But if it's a chemical that essentially somehow eats you from the inside, et cetera, that's just not fair. That's not how you should kill us if we're going to engage in a battle where we kill each other.
It starts a whole conversation that we can't have now, but maybe we will have on the show in the coming days, about the whole notion of regulating certain weapons of war. You know, if this was a use of nuclear weapons, then probably everybody would be on board to not do it again. Or, you know, then there was a campaign against landmines. Landmines were then considered beyond the pale. Now there's a campaign against drones. And can you do it weapon by weapon? So that's a larger conversation to have. And this is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, and WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, the New Jersey public radio stations, in addition to WNYC New York. We are with Hari Srinivasan, PBS correspondent and now anchor of the new Weekend News Hour on PBS. And Hari, I want to go back to something that the previous caller brought up about Obama being weak. Can you look beyond the Syria vote to the impact on the Obama presidency, depending on how it goes? I've heard some pretty dire predictions this weekend, and I think it may have even come up on Friday's NewsHour with Shields and Brooks, about how if the president loses this military authorization vote, which presidents almost never do, it will deplete a fair amount of his power for other things he wants to get done, like immigration reform and the contentious budget and deficit negotiations that are right around the corner. And honestly, I wonder, because as I was saying in the last caller, this vote has its unique political dynamics and those would have theirs. But what are you hearing about the ramifications of the Syria vote for domestic bills that are in the works?
You know, I think that this is, as you hinted, that the presidents rarely have to deal with this kind of opposition on a military action. I think there's also a halo effect when they do and the country rallies around them almost 100% saying, okay, here we are. We're stand by our president. We'll stand by our military, et cetera. And maybe that has a spillover effect. Right now, it's already he's operating in a climate where it's already so contentious. I mean, we still have a Congress that is considering repealing Obamacare this week and the next week, right? We're talking about a budget resolution that can't just get through. I mean, there are so many other issues. It's not like he's walking into a period of smooth sailing and he could sort of use this presidential bump up. It's I don't envy the president.
So tell me about your new show. The NewsHour does weekends now?
Yes, they do. We do. We have, you know, we've been at it for 30 or 40 years. We figured why not go 7 days a week? I think that, you know, partly it's just a natural evolution. And also it was a little bit of the mechanics of it. WNET, the local PBS station here in New York, is the production company that kind of makes this all possible. And so we'll have sort of two operating bases. The headquarters is still in D.C. Myself and a staff of folks are here for the weekend. And then I'll also be contributing to the weekday news hour as well.
And this will be on I know you have a couple of different feeds. Is it 7 p.m. on Channel 13 it is on the
– No, it's 6. Yeah, 6 and 6. 6:30 on LIW and 6 o'clock on NET. And it's you know, we're not trying to compete with 60 Minutes. In fact, we know that a good –
That's smart.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we're trying to tap in. We know that a tremendous number of the NewsHour viewers are also 60 Minutes fans. And I think there's actually stations around the country that are all kind of programming to say, hey, we can be part of your Sunday night news block. And again, that's for the folks who are still watching TV at a specific appointment. You know, we actually pre-publish a bunch of our content during the week. So the piece on Sondheim that you saw last night was already up online on Wednesday or Thursday. And we actually try to have what I call anchor hours, where I'll take suggestions and questions about the specific pieces that we'll post online and then say, hey, these are going to be in the broadcast. If you have a piece of – if you have a question about one of these segments, not only will I try to enable the producers to answer you, but if we create a piece of content, I'll go back on TV and say, by the way, we created this because of viewers like you asked for it.
By the way, some of our listeners may have seen – your piece on Friday night's NewsHour, which was not about Syria but was about the NSA with Nicole Perlroth, the technology reporter for the New York Times. And that conversation was pretty eye-opening about what the government knows about us, how it's broken into all these, you know, standard encryption programs that we thought kept our data out of hands that we didn't want it to get into when we use credit cards and all this stuff. What was new there?
You know, if we weren't in a conversation about Syria right now, this would be a massive story. I mean, we're talking about really every single person that's listening has probably made a transaction on the internet where there's a little lock on the left-hand side of the address bar that basically says, hey, this is a secure transaction, whether you're a local bank, whether you're on a Google Doc, whatever you want. What we're literally talking about is that the fact that that lock has been picked, and the NSA has had the ability to pick that lock for the last two decades. And it is just astounding to the technology company, or I'm sorry, technology communities. Companies around that sphere are saying, oh my gosh, how am I going to be able to create a relationship with my customers that is secure? I mean, it really calls into question the fundamental architecture of how the internet is built.
And let's get one more call in here, because Vance in North Arlington, New Jersey, is raising another question with respect to the Syria vote.
Listen, this is my first time calling into your show.
Thank you.
If you will allow me, I'll make it quick. I wanted to try to answer your two questions about what it would take for the president to convince me.
Good.
Okay. Washington Post article Friday about the NSA spying, black budgets, and blah, blah, blah. A lot of that goes to the NRO, these other spy agencies running satellites. To convince me, to convince these the American public that Assad was behind these attacks, show me the satellite footage. That's what I've been saying for the last 2 weeks now. If this guy did it, then, you know, show us the footage. Get the NR, the National Reconnaissance Office, and all these other agents, hundreds if not thousands of spy satellites we have orbiting the globe. Show me the picture. Show me the video.
What would it show you? In other words, if we're already convinced that a chemical weapons attack took place, you think they could show you satellite photos that would prove to you that it was Assad rather than the other side?
Yeah, of course, because the Jewish paper that I bought last week, I'm not sure, I think it was the Jewish Voice, one of them. I got three or four or five of them on my desk. One of them identified this specific army unit and the mountain where they supposedly shot these rockets full of sarin gas from. So
you
the Israelis have narrowed it down for us. There's no longer a needle in the haystack. They've narrowed it down to the unit and the precise location for where they were fired from. They need only give the NRO or any other spy satellite agency the coordinates for that mountain, backtrack, and show us the video. They did it with Saddam Hussein when they were showing us. Remember, they showed us the nice little pictures of this
and those were
chemical
wrong.
Lab that did not exist.
Yeah, those were wrong.
Right, but they showed. But what my point was, they showed us the wrong video. They showed us pictures of this mobile satellite camp, and those pictures were taken by satellite. So I only mention that to say that they do have that capability of going back in time a few weeks, months, and showing us pictures from all the hundreds or thousands of satellites orbiting the planet who took snapshots of that entire region. So it's
interesting. And Vance, I'm going to have to leave it there because we're out of time. But that's, I guess, where the NSA ties together with the Syria story. Yeah. And Hari Srinivasan, PBS correspondent and now anchor of the Weekend News Hour, airing in the
It's a half hour. 2 half hours make an hour. I suppose
it's called the News Hour.
It's still the News Hour. That's the brand that people have come to love and trust. So we're going to keep that. And hopefully, if we can run this half hour really well, then maybe they'll give us an hour
on Saturdays and Sundays at 6 p.m.
on WNET 13 and 6:30 on LIW.
We got New York and Long Island covered there. Hari, good luck with that, and
thank
thanks
you.
Very much for coming on today.